ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं पशुवर्णं चतुर्भुजं पशं नवदनं ध्यायेत् विघ्नोपशान्तये। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। The last nama that we saw in Vishnu Sahasranama was 354th nama, Garuda Dvajaha. Garuda is the Vainateya bird. Even in Bhagavad Gita, he says, of the birds I am Vainateya. It belongs to the eagle family. It soars so high in the sky and still it can see the dirt on the ground. It can pick up and clean the earth. So in the same sense, Lord who travels on Garuda, also it means like wind. You know, Garuda swiftly he travels and quickly comes and saves the devotee. That is one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, Lord who travels on Garuda, like Garuda, he also purifies the heart of the devotee. Even the minutest of dirt, if it is there, that would also be removed as long as we are devoted to Lord Vishnu. So the whole idea is, when our attention is upon the world, we pick up dirt. But when our attention turns away from the world to the divinity within, the dirt is removed. And as the dirts are removed, the more and more purified we become internally, the Lord, the Self from within, reveals itself. So the Lord is called as Garuda Dvajaha. And he has got Garuda as his flag, or one who travels on Garuda. So Garuda indicates cleansing, purification of even the subtle dirts. It's very easy to see the gross dirt. It becomes very difficult to see subtle dirt. In fact, it's easier to see others' faults. Very difficult is to see one's own fault. The very first lesson in the academy, when I was studying, we used to learn that poem from the poetry book that Swamiji has, you know, selected few poems. Called the Turkey and the Ant. In that poem, a turkey is feasting on ants for a breakfast. Millions of ants it's feasting on. And it is complaining about coming under poulterer's knife on the Christmas Eve. Once in a year, human beings slaughter turkey. And also one turkey is probably shared by 6 or 8 people. And that turkey is reminded of that day while it is feasting on, while she is feasting on numerous ants, innumerable ants, millions of ants. So generally when a person is of hoarding nature or what do you call it, destructive nature, they will be highly insecure. That is what this psychology brings out here in this poem of the chick, you know. Sorry, the turkey. So, the poet says, in the end, dare you remark another sin, with thy own conscience look within, control thy more voracious will, not for a breakfast nation's kill. You are killing a nation of ants for breakfast, one breakfast. And you are complaining about human beings slaughtering the turkey once in a year, and that also about 8 people share it. So, compared to the crime that you are cursing the human beings for, your crime is extremely magnified. But still you can't see. So therefore the first thing he says is, here you remark another sin. Before you remark another sin, with thy own conscience look to them. Control thy more voracious bill, meaning tongue. Not for a breakfast nation's kill. For a breakfast you are killing a nation of ants. So control your tongue. Control your tongue means, very interesting, tongue is an instrument with which you face also, with which you speak also. Both needs to be controlled. If both are not controlled, you will get into trouble. So therefore, he says both needs to be controlled. First thing, before you talk about another sin, you look into yourself and see if there are any dirts and correct. It's always easy to see others' dirts. Every time we are about to talk about somebody else's sin, this point should come in your head. To think, am I clean? And if I am clean, will I talk about others? But all, it's going to help the other person? Yes. If it's not helpful to the other person, not to me, not to anybody, why talk about it? Therefore, look within, focus and cleanse oneself. 354th now. Now let's start the next shloka. Atula sharabho bhima sama yajnyo habir harihi sarva lakshana lakshanyo lakshmi va samitinjayaha. Atula sharabho bhima sama yajnyo habir harihi sarva lakshana lakshanyo lakshmi va samitinjayaha. Atulaha. Atula, one who cannot be compared to anything else. The one who is incomparable. See, how can you compare the infinite with finite? Anything in this world, if you take and compare with Brahman or Vishnu, only one or two aspects will be comparable. It's impossible to have the equal comparison because Brahman is infinite, unconditional. And world is finite, conditioned. So therefore, it's impossible to find the equal in this world for Brahman. You can give some examples and say, this aspect is comparable. Even there, it won't be fully comparable, maybe. If you say like, you know, all-pervading like space. Now, space is all-pervading, but relatively. It's not absolutely all-pervading. Space is not there in deep sleep. In deep sleep, the concept of space is not there. But Atman is very much there. Brahman is very much there. Therefore, to some extent, the examples that you take from the world probably compare with Brahman to some extent. That's all. But beyond, it's not possible. Therefore, he says, Atulaha. Incomparable. So, intellect cannot compare that with something and understand. So there are four ways of gaining knowledge. Direct perception, and then inference, then comparison and traditional way of learning. So when it comes to Brahman, you cannot directly perceive Brahman. You cannot infer Brahman. You cannot compare and understand Brahman. You can only learn it through the traditional way. The traditional way is what we have been studying. When in the Mundaka Upanishad, he says, you know, you've got to go to the learned guru who is both learned and established in the Shastra, and he will reveal the truth from the known to the unknown according to the disciple's level. So as you purify yourself, the more of Guru Vakya will reveal itself to you. So therefore, it is not something that you can understand intellectually through comparison. So he says, Atulaha, one who cannot be compared to anything else. We would like to compare ourselves with somebody and then say we are greater than that. Here Brahman has nothing that can be compared with. So your original self is something far superior. See, that varies in kind. All the other stuff in the world varies only in degree. But the very Brahman which is very imperishable, how can you compare the imperishable with something which is part of the perishable world? Therefore, there is no comparison. So, once you begin to understand these concepts, and you understand that this is what Vishnu Sahasranama is talking about, Mahavishnu as Atulaha, incomparable person. Your original self is incomparable. So, you don't look at anyone as your competition. You just go about living your life as dharmically as possible to the best of your ability and keep going. So unnecessarily comparing and going through stress and all that will not be there. So, Atulaha. Then, Sharabaha. Sharabaha, the body is called Shara as it is perishable. Though he said in the previous word, Atulaha, this is incomparable. It is that which has come as this body, which is Shara. So, even though he, by word Shara, body is so called from its perishable nature. So, Shara means body and Bha means to shine. Shara Bha. So, Bha means to shine means the inner self that shines through the body. So, here the body is not strictly the physical body. The body also includes the subtle body. So, he who shines in the bodies as individual self. That's what Sharabaha means. So, Shara means perishable. Ba means that which shines. Bhasi. Shining. The shining through the subtle body. That inner self is called Vishnu or Brahman. And then Bhimaha. One of whom everyone is afraid. The awe-inspiring, says Adi Shankara. So if you are following righteous path, you will not have any fear. But somewhere everybody is having some kind of a selfish desire. Only when you rise above all the wants, will you become free of fear of divinity. See, a person who abides by the law need not fear the law. But when you don't abide by the law, obviously you will have to fear the law. So therefore he says, Bhimaha, so strong that everyone is terrified. Because of their selfishness they are terrified. It's not that Vishnu is terrifying nature. Lord is also called as Ishvara. He controls this universe through the laws. So if you go against the laws of nature, laws of this world, you will suffer. So the universe is not designed to cater to one individual. So you got to follow the dharma. So Bhimaha, one of whom everyone is afraid, terrified. Samayajnaha, one who knows the time for creation, sustenance and dissolution. Samayajnaha, the knower of the doctrines. One who has got the knowledge of creation, the method of creation and preserving and dissolving the world. See, if you want to create something, you must have the knowledge of how to create it. So, Brahman created the world from itself. Tapasa chiyate Brahma, says the Mundaka Upanishad. So, if Brahman has evolved this world from itself, then obviously it has the knowledge of how to create, preserve and dissolve the world in it. That is one meaning. So when you say Samayajnaha, the knower of all the doctrines of creation, sustenance and dissolution. Also another one is to whom worship Ajna consists in equality to all beings. To be equal to all is the worship of Vishnu, says Prahalada. So when you worship Vishnu, you understand that it is the Lord Vishnu who pervades every being. Then you will automatically be equal to every being. You will not be favorable to someone, not so favorable to another. So Sama Yajnaha, Havir Harihi. Another beautiful nama, Havir Harihi. Now, the receiver of oblations, that's what it means. One who receives the oblation. See, you are giving all the oblations into the fire god in when you do the rituals, isn't it? It's like I have already explained this to you. You invoke a particular devata, and you are offering the whatever you are offering it into the fire. Fire god is only a postman. He takes it to that particular devata. Finally, who is the receiver? Ultimately, the receiver is Brahman. When we studied Keno Upanishad also, I explained this to you. Your eyes are receiving this stimulus from the external world. You are seeing me through this camera. Your eyes are receiving it. Behind that, the sense centers are there in your mind. Behind the mind, the pure consciousness, Atma is there. So ultimately, who is receiving? The Atma, the pure consciousness. So everything that you offer, rituals are only symbolic. Again, in Keno Upanishad, we study. Constant yajna is going on. In fact, we studied this in the fourth chapter itself. You know, in the fourth chapter, when he talks about Kali Yajna, first he talks about Yoga, Yajna of perception. So this is offered and kindled. Stimuli is offered, perception is kindled. You offer the perception, hence the perception is perception. Control is kindled. All this we studied. So, there is constant yajna going on in all of us. And he is the one who is receiving everything that is being offered. So, Havir Harihi, sitting inside as Adi Yajna. Where did we study this term Adi Yajna? Anybody remember? Of course, we studied it in Bhagavad Gita. Do you remember which chapter? In the 7th chapter, end, Sri Krishna mentions it. And Arjuna asks a question on it in the 8th chapter. He says, what is Brahman? What is Adhyatma? What is Karma? What is Adibhuta? What is Adideva? What is Adiyajna? And Sri Krishna says, I am the Adiyajna sitting in this body. So that Brahman or Ishwara, the one who is sitting and receiving all the oblations. Sarva Lakshana Lakshanyaha. Sarva Lakshana Lakshanyaha. Known through all methods of knowledge, all methods of knowing, or all methods of research. Sarva Lakshana Lakshanyaha. The supreme knowledge obtained through all criteria of knowledge. That is Paramatma. Ultimately, what is known through anything? Finally, what is it? Pure consciousness. You can know something that is the object of the knowledge. But if you really go behind in any field, they say, you cannot know everything. In any particular field, even if you have got PhD, you can't say that I have known everything. Impossible. So, even in that particular field, if you go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, finally what is the depth? The depth is Brahman. Therefore, he says, Sarva Lakshana Lakshanyaha. The supreme knowledge obtained through all criteria of knowledge. That is Paramatma. The end of all knowledge. Finally, all knowledge culminates in Brahman, Vishnu. Next one is Lakshmivan. The consort of Lakshmi. Lakshmi is the goddess of prosperity, wealth. And again in Vishnu Sahasranama, it keeps on mentioning. God of Lakshmi resides on the chest of Lord Vishnu. So he is also called as Srinivas. You understand? Srinivas. Where Sri dwells. So Sri dwells in Narayana. So the dwelling place of Sri is Narayana. So if you want Sri to be in your house, there should be Narayana in your house. Where will Narayana be? Anybody? Where will Narayana be?
In your heart.
In your heart. Okay. Narayana will be there there is no ego. If the ego is there, there is no place for Narayana. The ego is, so that's why Jesus Christ says, no, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. And they are full of I. That's what Hiranyakashipu did, no? Everybody will say, praise me, Om Namo Narayana, nobody should say. Anywhere, I, everywhere. So insecure that all the walls you write your names. It shows that you are such an insecure fellow. Isn't it? See the, our country, I don't know, it is not there that much in Delhi, I think. Although there in parts of Delhi, Delhi, Haryana and all, I have not seen much. If you come to this Chennai and Andhra and all these places, my God, somebody else's compound these fellows occupy and write. Fellows' names are written in full big. So insecure you are. Huh? So, Lakshmi doesn't reside there. Lakshmi is not to be just looked upon as just material prosperity. See, when Lakshmi resides, there will be life there. It's the same Shakti in different rupas as Goddess Lakshmi, Goddess Parvati, Goddess Durga, Goddess Saraswati and all. So when Lakshmi resides me, there will be, you know, prosperous life, not just wealthy life. Prosperity means the wealth is something that is stagnant. Prosperity is something that is dynamic, constantly evolving and growing. So, if Narayana is there, means there is no ego there. So, Lakshmi Vam, Vishnu, is the adhipati of Lakshmi. Lakshmi resides there. And Samitinjayaha, one who is victorious in war, Samiti. In any war, ultimately it is Dharma that wins. Victorious in battle. Awareness destroys ignorance. So, when Lord Vishnu took a lot of incarnations and fought the evil forces, ultimately the evil forces are removed. The evil forces cannot stand light. Light means knowledge. Dharma. Snow cannot stand sun. The moment sun rises, the snow dissolves. Your ego gets formed only when you are not yet heated in the fire of knowledge. When the ego is heated in the fire of knowledge, it melts. Melts, it becomes bhakti. That's why anybody in any field, need not necessarily be in Vedanta, in any field, see for example Einstein, he says, what is my knowledge compared to my ignorance? So, when you really go deep, you understand you don't know anything. Humility comes, bhakti comes, ego melts. So, Samitinjayaha, one who is victorious in battles, quietens the mind, conquers the evil forces, the desires. Next shloka. Viksharo rohito margo ketur dhamodara sahaha mahidaro mahabaho vegavan namitashanaha. Viksharo rohito margo ketur dhamodara sahaha mahidaro mahabaho vegavan namitashanaha. Viksharaha undecaying. Saraha viksharaha. Something that never decays. Anything that comes into existence will decay. So when you say something that never decays, it means it never came into existence. It's always existing. That's what it means. That which has always been existing. One who is without sharaya or destruction. We have studied this in the Bhagavad Gita second chapter itself. Nainam chintanti shastram, nainam dahati pavakah, na tainam kledayantyapah, na shoshayati na marutah. Weapons do not cleave me. Fire does not burn me. Water does not wet me. Wind does not blow me. Me means Atma. Atma cannot be destroyed by any of the elements, sense objects, mind, intellect. Nothing can bring the destruction of Atma. Atma means you, I am indestructible. Vishnu is indestructible, undecaying. Ever life, life principle. Therefore, it never decays. Decay, birth, growth, disease, all these things are for the body. So the jiva, due to ignorance, identifies with the body and then goes through this fear. So, undecaying. Rohitaha. Rohitaha means the red hued. It may refer to some of his red hued forms which he has assumed at his own will or his incarnation as fish. That's the explanation given for this by Adi Shankaracharya. Rohitaha refers to the avatar of fish. Matsya, Kurma, Varaga. These are the different avatars he took. In the beginning, for life, what is first important? Water. So in the beginning, if there is water, then the first possible incarnation that one can think of is fish. And that is what is referred to here. Rohitaha. Marga. Marga means path. Vishnu is both the goal and the path. Both the goal and the path is Vishnu. I have to get back to Brahman. How? Keep Brahman as your GPS. You know, he says Margaha. One who is sought after by person seeking moksha or liberation. Ultimately, I need to reach the goal of Brahman. And I have to hold on to Brahman. Keep thinking of Brahman while doing all the activities. Dedicating to him, he will show the light, he will show the path. So, when we reach the ultimate, we will get that supreme liberation, a supreme bliss that we are really seeking. So, therefore, the higher our attention, the greater the bliss within. The path becomes clear. See, when the word marga is interpreted as path, the moment we gain this knowledge and fix Brahman as our goal, it gets tremendous clarity in our lives. Whether you go and reach Brahman or not, ultimate sense, finally that's different. But clarity comes. The things that used to agitate you before doesn't continue to agitate you anymore. Not worth. Imagine the objects which are lifeless are making a human being with life and emotions go through depression. I mean, it's unbelievable. Somebody in my family is given more than me. What you have itself is more than enough. Huh? Your problem is they have got more. Your whole life goes in this path without enjoying what you have got. And then finally what Swamiji says is only two fellows enjoy. That is your son-in-law and Swamis. When Swamis come to your town for lectures, they come and stay in your house. They are enjoying everything. This another fellow who is sitting in your house enjoying is your son-in-law. So, the problem See, just think about it. What are you grieving about? The objects which has no life. And they are torturing you who is reflecting life. So this is the condition, our condition today. Background may be PhD and all that. What is the use of all the PhD and MBA and all that? So, the moment we get fixed that as a goal, in life itself becomes the clarity. The path becomes very clear. Unnecessarily, you don't get attached to many things. And those who understand life, they only seek them. They don't want anything else. But all anything else is needed. It is to sustain this body to get back to them. The only worthy thing that is to be sought is Brahman, nothing else. See, any amount of wealth and this and that we have can be taken in. But if you have got the knowledge and as a result of that, if you have got the self-confidence, that nobody can take it away from you. But that we have got. We have got only other stuff. And we are trying to compensate. How can you compensate? You cannot. Impossible. So marga, ketu. One who is both the instrumental and material cause of this universe. Ketu. See. Material cause. Upadana karan. Now, when a pot is made, clay is the material cause. And pot maker is the instrument cause or intelligent cause. And the pot maker, the intelligent cause is called nimitta karanam. Clay is called material cause or upadana karanam. So when it comes to this world, Brahman is both the material cause and the upadana cause. Sorry, nimitta, which is intelligent. Both. From Brahman, the world was brought up. Brahman is the material cause. And Brahman has the knowledge to bring that. So therefore the intelligent cause is also Brahman. Brahman did not borrow knowledge from somebody else and create. Full patent is with Brahman for this creation of the world. So you say, I have intellectual property rights for this and that. Ultimately, all the intellectual property rights lies with Brahman. Ketuhu, one is both the instrumental and material cause of this universe. The cause, basically, Ketu means cause. Next one is Damodaraha. Known through discipline. Dama. Dama udara. One who has very benevolent mind because of disciplines like self-control. It's a very interesting nama. Dama means self-control. Dama, shama, uparama. We studied all that. So dama means self-control. Self-control. Dama udara means dama udara. So that disciplines. Through that, he has got the benevolent mind. That's what it means. Damodaraha. Known through discipline. One who has very benevolent mind because of disciplines like self-control. What it means is, Brahman can only be known when you integrate your mind through the discipline. See, mind is disintegrated. It goes in all different directions. The Bhagavad Gita Karma Yoga we studied, you know. Vyavasa Atmika. It's coming actually. Vyavasthanaha. That is another nama that is coming after 10 or 15 namas after this. So there is a Vyavasa Atmika means single pointed. In Karma Yoga, the mind is single pointed, is it? Because karma yoga is there to fix a goal. Brahman, Atman, Atma Shuddhi, self-purification. So the mind becomes single-pointed. Intellect is resolute. Otherwise, mind goes in all different directions. When mind goes in all different directions, it increases the desires. There's tremendous turbulence. And in the turbulent mind, the self doesn't reveal itself. Only when the mind is calm, the self reveals itself. So Damodara means, when you, through self-control, discipline your mind, the mind which comes under the control of the intellect is beneficial to you, is benevolent to you. And in that mind, the self reveals. Therefore, Damodaraha. Sahaha. One who subordinates everything, all enduring. These are the meanings of this word sahaha. All enduring, one who subordinates everything. See, when you devote yourself to the Lord, Lord, through his karuna, compassion, forgives the lapses. That doesn't mean you can function haplessly. The Lord understands, like they say, you know, to err is human. To forgive is godly. He forgives the lapses of his devotees. Or he supersedes all. Sahaha. Lord supersedes the limited beings. Mahidaraha. One who props up the earth in the form of mountain. Mahidaraha. Also Mahidaraha means one who bears the earth. The bearer of earth. In the shape of mountains. So the forests are to be looked upon as Vishnu. See, in short, everything is Vishnu. Whether you see trees or rocks or water, anything you see, it is nothing but Vishnu and Vishnu alone. Therefore, Mahidaraha, Mahabhagaha. Mahabhagaha, beautiful Nama, the most fortunate. He takes the form of any form, whatever form he wants, he can take. In his incarnations, he's come as many different forms. Fish, Matsya, Purna, Varaha. Any form he wants. In Sanchara, all the forms that he's taken is his only. It's just that we don't see the truth, that's all. So, Mahabhaha. He who taking a body by his own will enjoys supreme felicities. Different avatars, if you see, he's fed with different things. He is the one who's come in all different forms to enjoy this universe. Vegavan, one of tremendous speed. The mind is fast. You just think of London, the mind goes there. Before the flight or anything goes, the mind goes. But before the mind, Atma goes. So Vegavan, very swift, extremely swift. Very fast. Actually it means unmoved. Why unmoving? In the Upanishads, they say without moving, moves. You get confused. What is this without moving, moves business? What is without moving, moves means? Anybody?
Without moving, moves. That means maybe your mind is still, your mind is absolutely stoic, but you are doing your work.
No. Brahman is without moving. It's unmoving. Why it is unmoving? Why Brahman is called unmoving? Anybody?
Because
Brahman is all pervading.
Correct.
Brahman something is all pervading. There is no movement possible. Movement is possible only from a place where it is to a place where it is not. How can there be movement? So Brahman is all pervading. It is unmoving. So itself remaining unmoving, it is that which is behind everything that moves. The trees, the mind, anything you take that moves, what is behind that? It is Brahman that is behind. So unmoving, it moves. It moves means through its manifestation seems to be moving. But strictly speaking, it is unmoving. And that unmoving Brahman is everywhere. So before the mind could reach, it's already there. Atma. Therefore, it is the fastest. Vegavan. In other words, your mind cannot beat the Atma. Without Atma, mind cannot function. And Amitashanaha. One who consumes all the worlds at the time of dissolution. Of unmeasured appetite. The fire. They compare the mind to fire. It's a Mahashanaha. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, when he talks about this mind, the desire, he says it is Mahashanaha Mahapapma. One which consumes anything you give, fire consumes. And it waits for more to be consumed. A gentleman from LA, he comes to India once in a year. He comes and stays for almost 2-3 months. So he attends our classes in Essex Farms every time he comes. He was telling me once when they had this forest fire there, he said, you know, this 8 lanes traffic on the high on the main road there, 4 lanes this side and 4 lanes this side. So the fire was spreading through on this side of the road. And the fire jumped the 8 lanes and came this side. A lot of people were running away from here and they were admitted in the hospitals on this side. But the fire got into the hospitals also. The scene he was describing was terrible, horrifying. So fire consumes and it still wants more. Out there, out there. It consumes. Similarly, the entire universe is consumed at the time of prayer. Say this, you consume the whole universe into yourself. You are the one who bring the whole universe out of yourself. So, Amitashanaha, one who consumes all the worlds at the time of dissolution. So that's why a person with knowledge, it's not easier. People go and talk about their problems and all that. We hear stories of some psychiatrists and all, psychologists or psychiatrists. After hearing so many stories, they themselves go mad. No. But a person with knowledge, able to digest any experience, anything can be digested. If it touches the heat of knowledge, it dissolves. So, Amitashanaha, he who consumes all the world at the time of dissolution. Also, this waking world, dream world, deep sleep world that we are experiencing, all are consumed at the time of realization. When you wake up from this waking state, according to Upanishads, this waking state also they call as a dream state. This is a little more vivid, long, solid dream. I can give as many adjectives as I want, but in the end I have to end with the word dream. So in the Upanishad, some of the Upanishads, they say there are only two states. We study three states now. Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. Waking, dream and deep sleep. Beyond these three states is the pure consciousness, which is called as Turiya, the fourth. But Mandukya Upanishad is two states. What two states? Sushupti and Swapna. Sushupti means deep sleep and Swapna means dream. So you think he has forgotten to mention the waking state. They have not forgotten. They say waking state is also nothing but dream. Just like how a dreamer will be shocked if you go tell him, hey Baba, this is all dream. You are thinking you are not married and you are unemployed, suffering and all that. You are actually married and you have kids. You have huge business empire. Has given employment to 10,000 people. So many families are surviving because of you and all that. But he will not understand anything because he is in the dream. Same thing happening to ourselves. How much ever we study about Atman, Brahman, this and that, we still continue to live in this solid dream. A beautiful, fantastic dream. Which doesn't exist when you fall off to sleep at night, go into deep sleep. Yet we firmly believe in this. I appreciate these thoughts. Shri Sahasranama, fantastic. Bhagavad Gita, superb. I appreciate all this. But you know, so this world is nothing but a fascinating dream. We got to wake up from that. Not easy. So, we consume all this, not only in sleep, when you wake up, everything is consumed. What remains is only Brahma, nothing else. Next. Uddhava Shobha Modeva Segar Bhaktarameshwaraha Karanam karanam karta vikarta dahano gruha Uddhava Shobhano Deva Srigar Bhastaraneshwaraha Karanam karanam karta vikarta dahano gruha Uddhava. One who is the material cause of creation. Uddhava. From which things came up. Called Uddhava. The origin. From where did everything come up? So, this entire universe came from Brahman. Brahman is the material cause. Also, Uddhava means one who is free from the worldly existence. Since this Brahman is the cause from which this universe has come about, Brahman is the origin. Hence, not bound by its creation. Brahman remains free. So, Udbhavaha. See, Ramatirtha says this, Swami Ramatirtha, you know, fascinating lectures he gives. He says, you created the work. Huh? And you yourself say, I'm bound by it. Swamiji, I am definitely coming to the ashram. Say, people say, you know, we are definitely going to the ashram. This year, pakka, pakka. And then they say, kama here. I could not go. Every time, Swamiji, I think another 5 years then I retire. Ke baat hai. So in short, what you are saying is, you created your business, your work or whatever, and you allow that to bind you. Not that, this is only given as an example. Going to ask. Anything, you say, I want to genuinely do that. But you are not able to bring yourself to do that. So what is binding you? Your own creation binding you? This is the problem. Udbhavaha. So that is not the problem with Brahman. So, because the world has come from him, from Brahman, and Brahman remains being the source, remains absolutely unaffected. Shobhanaha. One who at the time of creation entered into the Purusham Pratiti and passed agitation. So what he means is, if the world was not entered by Vishnu, there won't be life or energy in it. So the agitator, Shobhanaha, the Lord Hari moves by his own will the perishable Prakriti and the imperishable Purusha and agitates them at the time of creation. This is explanation given by Adi Shankara. So it is the Vishnu who enters and allows the energy to flow and sets the ball rolling. So he is called as Shobhanaha. Devaha. Devaha means the illuminating factor. Divyati means sports oneself through creation and other cosmic activities. Divya, light, the illuminating factor. It is Brahman who is the origin and who is the one who agitates, means makes it function. And through them, he is the one who shines. If it's like this, electricity itself produces a gadget and enters the electricity, I'm sorry, the gadget, and then energizes it and brings out the function of that equipment, showing the presence of electricity through its functioning. That's what he's saying. Udbhava Shobhano Divya. Means what? He not only created this universe. He enters this universe and agitates it, makes it function. And when it functions, you see the divinity shining through it. Somebody is singing, somebody is dancing. Otherwise, this Prakriti is just jada, isn't it? Who's put the desire in it? You are happily sitting in this room and then want to study Gita, Upanishads and all that. But you have the desire to study, I have the desire to talk, let's say. But somebody must have the desire to create this Zoom app and this and that. So Brahman has entered everybody, agitated, make them function, and he is the one who is shining through all of them. Devaha, Divyati, means sporting, shining, illuminating through them. That's what it means. And Shri Garbha. Garbha means womb. Shri Garbha. So the all womb of all possibilities. That's what it means. Womb of innumerable possibilities. Containing the Shri in himself. One in whose abdomen, womb, Shri are his unique manifestation as samsara as it exists. Shri Garbha. So that is what you see in the, you know, Vishnu lying, and then from his navel, a lotus comes, and then the whole creation has come out of it. Shri Garbha, Parameshwara. Parama, Supreme, Ishwaraha, Lord. One who holds sway over all beings. Parama, Ishwaraha, the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord, lordliness. Lordliness, when you say, means the Lord pay obeisance to him. He doesn't come under the law. And he remains the same in all beings. And governs this universe without coming under the laws. He governs the laws. It is called as Supreme Lord. So, Udbhavaha, Shobhanaha, Devaha and he is the Parameshwaraha and he is the Sri Garbhaha. Karanam, he who is the most important factor in the generation of the universe. Karanam, the cause, he who causes others to act. So the material cause is Brahman. The instrumental cause is Brahman. Karanam means instrument. Karanam means material cause. The material cause is also Brahman. The instrumental cause is also Brahman. And interestingly, he says Karta, the doer. Now this is something that we need to understand properly. Brahman doesn't do anything. Yet he is called as Karta here. One who is free and is therefore one's own master is explanation given in the book I gave you. Karta. But Karta literally means doer. Doer in the sense, whatever you do, you cannot do if the Atma were not enlivening your body, mind and intellect. Not possible. If Atma was not enlivening your body, mind and intellect, impossible to do that action. He is the one who is the cause, but he remains independent. That's what it means. He is the instrumental cause and also independent. What does it mean? He is the instrumental cause and also independent means what? It means, supposing you are an engineer. Wherever you go, you have this card with you. Lakshmi Narayanan, engineer. Give that card. Lakshmi Narayanan, cricketer, XYZ, whatever. You are dependent on what you do, whereas Brahman is independent of what it does. Brahman has no desire to do. It remains independent of it. Yet, no doing is possible without Brahman. So hence, Karta, who is the instrument cause, as well as independent. Vikarta, one who makes this unique universe. Vikarta, the one and only, the creator of these varied worlds. Vishesha, you know, all kinds of species. You just watch the some of the documentaries. They are not showing the world. They are just showing the underwater world. Just underwater world when we see incredible species. Unimaginable. The variety show is incredible. And it's going on spinning out, isn't it? So many children are born. So many species come out. So many varieties. Yet there is no duplicate. There is no photocopy. Originally things keep coming out. So Vikarta. Variety show. Huge variety show. Gahanaha. One whose nature, greatness and actions cannot be known by anybody. As we are talking, as if we have understood everything. But it says unknowable kahanaha. In regards to his nature, capability or acts. See, when Mahabali saw Vamana. Mahabali could not even imagine that he can grow to that height whereby with this one step, he would cover the earth. With another step, he could cover the heavens. He didn't have space to keep his third step. So when he asked Mahabali, where will I keep my third step? Mahabali said, please keep it on the head. So that unimaginable capacity. You have that. See, that's why we say, it is desire that limits your productivity. In in all our management talks, this is something that we say, but still people don't. They say, "Arey, yaar, how they don't have desire, how will I?" But actually, it's the desire that is becoming the what do you call it, obstacle. It's a very, very interesting thing. When a person gets to work out of love, tremendous power. Always, I give this example of Mahatma Gandhi. You see all this documentary on Gandhiji's Dandi Yatra and all that. He's so old, he's so thin, and he's walking faster than many other fellows. From where is he getting so much energy? Just love for his nation. That it's not desire. You understand? So, when you rise above that desire, when you rise above the I, right? Desire means it is always connected to the I. So, the more you conquer the desire, the greater the energy, tremendous energy. So, unimaginable feats are possible by the Atma. That's why I gave that one example of Vamana Avatar. A small boy came as and he conquered it. So in you there is this tremendous potential. But that tremendous potential will come out only when you realize the self. So realize the self means what? Oh no, I have to live my life and then just before dying I better realize this. For what purpose? When you live, if you have realized the self, your full potential can come out. It will be beneficial for the whole world. Just about to die, you want to realize. So, that's why Upanishad say, Hake the Deti Tata Satyam. Hake Viha Deti Mahatmi Vinash. So, Gahanaha, you have that potential whose nature, greatness, and actions cannot be known by anybody. Means the potential within you and me is incredible potential. But we limit ourselves because of the mind. Human beings, whatever they have achieved now, is nothing. They can achieve much, much more. As long as they understand the power within. So, tap that power by realizing the self. Guhaha. One who hides one's own nature with the help of his own power of Maya. The concealer. Your power is concealed to you because of the power of Maya. The Maya, that veiling power, you know, due to the veiling power of Brahman, everything seems to be veiled. So, guhaha, one who hides one's own nature with the help of his power of Maya. So, when we really, and Maya from the individual angle should be understood as mind. Your mind is your Maya. The mind is what they are, you can't do this. Look at yourself. Or only this height, this weight, how can you do this? Why can't you do? You can. The potential is so much because mind is only the tip of the iceberg. When you go deeper and reveal the self, your potential is something else. But it's now covered by this Maya. And you are cooling off in desire stations. If you just understand that, you wake up. The potential is something unbelievable. So also guha means cave. He is residing in the cave of your heart. Deep inside. Very few people know the secrets. And of the people who are informed through the shastra, very few people put in the effort and go and reveal the self. Go into that guha and reveal it. Very, very few. It's very difficult for many because they don't want to put in any effort to conquer the centers of the mind. So, guha. We'll stop here. 383rd nama. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Guruji, thank
you. Kayena vacha manasendriyaiva buddhyatmana va prakriti swabhavat karomi adhyat sakalam parasmai narayanaiti samarpayami.
Thank you, Guruji.